I know that the whole world is really surprised by the speed and the magnitude with which the coronavirus have conquered the world. We know that out of the 195 listed countries of the world, 188 countries have been affected by this epidemic. More than 800,000 deaths have been reported, and 26 million cases of people being affected by this deadly virus. Even in our country, we know that we took a great hit. If the statistics are reliable, nearly 183,000 have perished because of this virus, and 6 million confirmed cases. 21 million jobs have been lost, and the unemployment is nearly 15% now. The travel industry in the United States have suffered a loss of $910 billion. Now, that is the paralyzed world, a world that is really shocked unexpectedly by a deadly virus, and the whole world is shut down. But you know, there is another important thing which we forget. This is not simply a medical virus or a health virus. This is also has resulted in spiritual pandemic, and Satan have taken advantage of that. Look at all the churches that are still closed. Even in our own country, where we claim that we have all religious liberty and no persecution. In California, in Los Angeles, there is real persecution, and churches are fighting in the court so that they can remain open. One church in Los Angeles is fined $50,000 every time they gather. Can you imagine that happening in this country? And in many other parts of the world, the legalistic religion, even in assemblies, do not allow people to have any kind of worship, even through Zoom or through technology, with or without the Lord's Supper. There are several people who have shared their sorrow with me for the last more than 7 months. They have never been able to worship the Lord in any fashion, because those assemblies do not allow any kind of worship through Zoom or through webcam or through live stream. They allow other meetings in some places. So that's why I believe this is also a spiritual pandemic. It has affected believers. It has affected churches, and Satan have really used this situation to discourage and disappoint and frustrate people. This is also, you know, not only a medical pandemic, this is corona spiritual pandemic to some extent. This is corona ministry pandemic, because many of our travel plans, many of our ministries, camps and conferences had to be canceled. My own 3 overseas trip had to be canceled. And as far as our assembly is concerned, many of our different gatherings are affected by this. So this is corona ministry kind of pandemic. This has affected the business. This is corona business pandemic. This has affected our shopping. This is corona shopping pandemic. This has affected our vacation plans. So this is corona vacation pandemic. This has affected our travel plans. So this is corona travel pandemic. So what I'm saying is, this is not simply a health pandemic. This is not simply a medical pandemic. This is more than that. This has affected every area of our life. And it has shocked us, it has paralyzed us, it has inconvenienced us. And the world out there, you know, it is in weeping and in crying because several lives have been lost. In many places, people are completely quarantined and isolated without proper medical care and proper treatment, isolated from families like in a prison. And in many places, medical treatments are not available. People are without food and people are without job. And people are going through very, very difficult situations. But in the midst of such a crisis, the Lord has abundantly provided for all of us, and we are grateful to God. So what I'm trying to say is that we are living in perilous days, unprecedented perilous days, turbulent times. And we have never envisioned anything like this in our lifetime. And it is unimaginable that within few weeks, the whole world is affected and we do not know about the future. And in such a time as this, what is the most important thing we should do? That is my message today. In a time like this, in a crisis like this, in a shock like this, in a disturbance like this, in a perilous time like this, in a time of terrible catastrophe like this, what is the number one thing, what is the most urgent thing we should do? And I believe the most urgent thing, the most priority need at this time, when the Lord has allowed such a crisis to happen in this world, is that we seek Him in prayer, in repentance, in confession, in prayer. We turn to Him. So the title of my message this morning is taken from Hosea 10:12. I'm not speaking from Hosea, but the title of the message is, "It is time to seek the Lord." You know, in Hosea 10:12, in that verse, in the middle of that verse, it is this statement, "For it is time to seek the Lord." Dear brothers and sisters, that is what I want to speak to you today, and God willing, next week also. Because this is what the Lord has been speaking to me. I was very much affected by this because 10 very significant ministries beginning next week in Australia has been cancelled. And the brethren contacted me and asked me, what shall we do with this? You know, so there is nothing that can be done. I cannot travel. They cannot arrange the conference. I'm just sharing my testimony. And we all have, you know, such setbacks and difficulties and frustrations. So it is a crisis time. It is a dangerous time. So what is the most urgent need I have? What is the most urgent need assemblies have? What is the most urgent need families have? It is time to seek the Lord. That is the most urgent need. There is no urgent need for any one of us more than that. Because the Lord is calling our attention through this pandemic to that need. For it is time for God's people to seek the Lord. So, first, we will turn to the book of Psalms. So I made a brief study about a new perspective on prayer in crisis time. So I just want to share what I have found from the Word of God, because it has revolutionized my own prayer life. It was a time for me to humble myself, to confess my sin, and also to turn to God in repentance and to have a new perspective on prayer, a new model of prayer, a new hunger for prayer, a new thirst for prayer. Not the routine prayer, not the traditional prayer, but a different type of prayer, more in tune with the Word of God, more in tune with Scripture, more in tune with what the Spirit of God wants us. Now, throughout the history of biblical history, whenever God's people have gone through crisis, you know what they have done. When Moses had a great leadership crisis, he cried unto the Lord. When the children of Israel, when they became disobedient, and Moses was very much frustrated, what did he do? He sought the Lord's face. What did Daniel do when he was in Babylon? When he was constantly seeking the face of God because of all that was going on and the calamities that was befalling God's people, through fasting and prayer, he was praying and he was looking to the Lord. That is what Daniel did. What about Nehemiah? In the book of Nehemiah, when all the walls were torn down and the city was burned down, what did Nehemiah do? He was a great leader, but what did he do? The book begins with how he prayed and cried unto the Lord. What did Ezra do? He prayed and sought the Lord in the midst of a crisis. So here is a model. There is a scriptural model here. When God allowed crisis in the land, when God allowed problems in the midst of God's people, when God allowed earthquakes and famines and captivity and dangers to befall upon the people of God and the whole world, God's prophets, God's apostles, and God's servants and God's people, they always sought the Lord. Throughout the Bible, that is the pattern. And we should not change that pattern. And we should be careful, we should be more aware of that pattern. And we should seek the Lord. That is what we should do. So seeking the Lord is a phrase that constantly occurs in the Word of God in relation to devoted prayer, committed prayer, prayer with confession and repentance and turning to God and hungering for God, thirsting for God, confessing before God, kneeling down before God. So we will look at some verses beginning in Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, verse 8. Psalm 27, 8, we read, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Your face, Lord, I will seek. When you said, the Lord told me, you know, it's a Psalm of David, that you seek my face, that is your need. So, Lord, my heart replied, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, Psalm 34, this frequently occurs in Psalm and in the prophetic books. Psalm 34 and verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me. So that means it is prayer. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 24 and verse 6. Psalm 24 and verse 6 we read, this is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. A generation of people who will seek the face of the Lord. And this generation, our generation, that is what the Lord expects us to do. We, our children, our generation, God's people, we should be seeking the face of the Lord always. Not because we have a pandemic, but when we have a crisis, when we have difficulties and trials, when the Lord allows that, the Lord is calling our attention to himself so that we may be more diligently, we should be seeking him. And throughout, you know, let me read another verse from Psalm 9 and verse 10. Throughout the book of Psalms, we have numerous verses. Psalm 9, 10. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Now, throughout the scriptures, the promise is that when we seek him, he will listen to us. He will hear us and he will answer us. So when we seek him in prayer, in confession, in worship, and when we draw near to him with a great sense of need, the promise is always that he will hear us, he will answer us, and he will listen to us. So when we seek him, we can be hopeful, we can be peaceful, that in the midst of my crisis and danger, I don't find any exit, but I'm seeking my God, and he has promised that he will answer. So seeking God's face in the prophetic books and also in the book of Psalms, a frequently occurring phrase. In Hosea 10, 12, you know, the title of my message, it is time to seek the Lord. It is to seek him in prayer and in total dependence on him, seeking his will, seeking his priority, being devoted to him, being committed to him, and following his leadership and guidance all the way in our life, as we have never done before, because the Lord has allowed something in our life so that we may turn to him and seek his face as never before. That is why the Lord said in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, you know, there are numerous verses where people of God sought him and God answered them. God heard their cry and God made ways for them. God prepared ways for them. God showed them the exit doors, and the Lord was with them in the affliction, and they were able to move on happily and courageously in spite of the trials and the difficulties of their life. Now, I would like to draw your attention to the prayer of Ezra in chapter 8, in the book of Ezra, chapter 8, where Ezra, Nehemiah, all of them, they sought the Lord in the midst of crisis. In the book of Ezra, chapter 8, there are few very powerful verses that amplify this theme. In Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, Ezra is getting ready to go to Jerusalem, you know, to help in the construction of the temple. And all the preparations are made. And from beginning Ezra 8, 21, he is fasting and praying for protection on the way. They are embarking on a journey. Ezra and all the laborers and all the servants and all the people with him, they are going to take a journey. They are taking the journey from the Persian city. We read, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. So this is a protection for their journey. Like when we travel, we pray unto the Lord. In the same way, Ezra is praying that Lord protect us as we make this historic journey, this milestone journey into our motherland, to rebuild the temple and to restore the worship and sacrifices, everything there. So they are getting ready to go. So Ezra prayed, 21 again, then I proclaimed a fast. Because this is a crisis time, this is a serious situation, and a new perspective on prayer. That this is little bit different than the prayers they have done before. This is more focused, more intense. This is a more a new perspective on prayer. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek from him the right way for us and our little ones and all our possessions. We want to know the right way for us, for our possessions, for our little ones, for our project before us. So we really wanted clear-cut guidance from the Lord. For that, we declared a fast and we sought the Lord and we prayed. Verse 22, for I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road. You know, I was reluctant to ask for a military escort for protection on the way. But rather, I cried unto the Lord, Lord, you protect us. And, you know, he was ashamed to request a military escort from the king. Because there are many dangers, lurking dangers on the way. They need protection from robbers, from enemies, from thieves and other dangers. So I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers. Middle of the verse, the hand of our God is upon all those who for good who seek him. But his power and his wrath are against all those who forsake him. Because we are seeking the Lord. And I believe Ezra is saying that the hand of the Lord will be for us as we seek him. So I did not ask a military escort because we are a group of people who were committed to seeking the Lord. Protection on the way. What happened in verse 23? So we fasted and entreated our God for this, for safety on the way. And he answered our prayer. Look at verse 31. Then we departed from the river of Ahava on the 12th day of the first month to go to Jerusalem. And the hand of our God was upon us. And he delivered us from the hand of the enemy and from ambush along the road. 32. So we came to Jerusalem. The Lord protected them and the Lord watched over them and they came safely for a very milestone historic mission in the history of Israel to accomplish that. A crisis time, a leader during a crisis time. What was their priority? Their priority was to seek the face of God. How? Not the routine, traditional, normal way they used to do. But through fasting and prayer, seeking the face of God so that their mission may be accomplished. So, dear brothers and sisters, what is the application? When we go through crisis or difficulties, we need to revise our thinking about prayer, both in our personal life, in our family life, and also in our assembly life. We should have a new perspective about life. It may not be the routine prayers. It may not be the traditional prayers. It may not be the normal prayers and the style and the way we do. We may have to do something different. For that, we need to seek the Lord. What is the most urgent thing we should do during a time like this? We should seek the Lord. We should seek his face. And we should ask his intervention on our behalf to show us the path as we undertake this journey. And when we have to make important decisions, we should be praying for one another, for our elders, for our assembly, for all those who are serving the Lord. You know, what is the next step? How shall we go? For that we are praying, but we should have a new perspective on prayer. A new understanding of prayer, more intense and focused prayer for specific needs of the time, of the season, and things that are affecting us. And that is the great example we find in the Word of God. So when we seek Him, we will find Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 4, there is a beautiful verse there. I preached from this passage a couple of weeks ago in another assembly. In 2 Chronicles 15, 4, it is, the reform of King Asa. And a prophet was sent to him. And this is what the prophet reminded him. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him. And he was found by them. In their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him. And when they sought him, what happened? He was found by them. When we seek him, we will find him. That is what the Lord told us in Matthew 7:7. Seek and you shall find. So seeking the Lord in repentance, in confession, in total casting ourselves upon him for mercy and for guidance, then he will visit his people and he will be merciful to his people. I would like to mention two more passages, got my attention in my study. The first one is Jeremiah 29, and in Jeremiah 29 verse 11 is a very, very famous verse. And during the watch night prayer service, as a new year resolution for new year message, and all, we read this verse 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, we all read that and we stop there. But look at the next verse. When will this guidance for the future will be fulfilled? When can we claim that promise? Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. I never hear anybody reading that part, because that is not proper exegesis. Look at the context. We isolate that verse and claim that promise. That promise is good, wonderful, and the application of God's blessing that he will guide us in the future, we can claim that, no doubt. But look at verse 12. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So your future and your peace and your guidance for the peace, for the future, everything comes when you call me, when you seek me with all your heart. With all your heart, then you will find me and I will answer you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, this is a prayer, a new perspective on prayer. Prayer is seeking the face of God. Prayer is seeking direction from Him. Prayer is seeking His will. Prayer is seeking his plan. Prayer is seeking his agenda in our life during crisis time. And that kind of seeking in the Word of God is more intense and it is more focused. And many a times it is accompanied by fasting and confession and repentance. So when we come together collectively to pray, these are some of the things which we can bear in mind that should move us to pray. that should move us to pray. Last week, our brother George P. John was encouraging all of us to pray, because there is great need for us to pray too, because our prayer meeting that is devoted to prayer should be prayer. Otherwise, what is the purpose of that meeting? So when we come to such occasions, we should have this understanding in our hearts and minds, brothers and sisters, that we are here to seek the Lord and His face. We are here to confess. We are here to pray for our needs, pressing needs in our midst. And at the same time, we are also here to pray for certain very crisis, urgent, important needs that are affecting the whole world, many of our churches, ministries, missions, and the whole world, the world at large. So it is with that passion we should come. It is with that focus we should come. It is with that intensity we should pray. And that is very important. That is what the Lord expects us to do. So I'm encouraging all of us. I was more encouraged to pray. This changed the way I pray at home, because these are scriptural guidelines. The Lord is teaching me that, you know, we can pray in any way we like as children. He is a merciful Father. You know, those are like, very, very simplistic understanding of prayer. I think all of us should graduate from that kind of understanding by this time. We should have a little more sober understanding, little more, you know, on a graduate level. We are a long way in our Christian life. And if John 3:16 is the only verse we know, that's not a good report. You know, so as we mature, the way my granddaughter prays should be, you know, and my prayer should be different from that, because her understanding of prayer is very, very limited. You know, but my understanding of prayer, nearly for the last 50 years as a Christian, and, you know, more than 50 years and last 43 years of serving the Lord expects me to have a more weighty understanding of prayer. And that is not only true of me, that is true of you too. Because we have been blessed immensely. So when we come together to pray, these things should be reflected in our prayer, in our worship, so that the Lord may bless us and the Lord may have mercy upon us, and we may be able to enjoy His peace and direction and guidance even in the midst of trials and problems. And finally, 2 Chronicles 7:14, the most famous verse in the Bible on revival. You know, 2 Chronicles 7:14, probably most of us know this verse by heart. And I know that, you know, this verse is a promise given to Solomon in relation to the land of Israel. In the same way, we cannot apply this to us. You know, but there are timeless principles in this verse in relation to revival and renewal, revitalization and prayer. This is considered to be the most important verse in the Bible on God's requirement for revival and blessing. Now, the land here is the land of Palestine, and the promise is made to Solomon. So literally, you know, this is not talking about the United States or not talking about the church. All that is true. I know there are some people even among the assemblies who do not even mention this prayer, because they say it is for Solomon and for the children of Israel. I do not think so. This is the timeless principle, even though it was made a promise to Solomon and in relation to the land of Israel and their safety and protection. The timeless principle of this verse is God's requirement for revival and blessing. So, very familiar verse. Let us read this verse. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. See that phrase? Seek my face and repent and turn from their wicked ways, Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Humility. So this is intense prayer. This is focused prayer. This is a prayer with confession. This is a prayer with repentance. This is a prayer with great sorrow. This is a prayer with great passion, so that the Lord may heal us spiritually and in any other way. The Lord may deliver us from a crisis. The Lord may have mercy upon us, our families, our children, our land and our country. And it is prayer in crisis situation. And the guideline is given. This is a prayer for renewal, revival. If my people who are called by my name, they have to humble themselves. Humility with a sense of need. Total dependence on the Lord. The recognition that without the Lord's mercy, we cannot accomplish anything. And then they pray. When they pray, in prayer, what do? They are not simply reciting certain things, certain words. It's not a vain repetition. It's not like a jargon or a mantra like the pagans. They are seeking the face of God. And we have already seen that. And turn from their wicked ways. That is another way to say that they have to repent away from all things that displeases him. And everything that is contrary to his will. Then the promise. If we meet these conditions, you know, humble, seek my face, pray, turn, then the promise comes that I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So the promise is given. So dear brothers and sisters, we have looked at very different, a very uniquely different approach to prayer. A new perspective on prayer. Intense prayer. Focused prayer. Prayer with sorrow, with a great burden in our heart. And prayer with the tears and weeping and seeking the face of God. Prayer with fasting. I will say more about fasting, God willing, next week. Revise our thinking about prayer. And these things should motivate us to pray. We should have a tremendous need because it is time to seek the Lord. And in the light of all that is happening all around us, our nation, it is very important that we pray intensely with this passion and with this commitment. And in our gathering, this kind of passion should characterize our prayer. That is very, very important. That is what the Lord expects us. The Lord wants me to pray differently than I have prayed last year. Because the Lord has allowed a crisis. The Lord has hindered many of my ministry. The Lord has shown me many people suffering around me. My own fellow believers. Many believers who have been affected by this pandemic. So when I pray, I should have a new perspective on prayer. I'm happy that we are a united assembly. We are a peaceful assembly. We are a good assembly. But we need to be a powerful assembly. We need to be a more prayerful assembly, characterized by renewal, revitalization, and revival. It begins with prayer, and there is no other way it will begin. It begins with prayer. It begins with confession. And it begins with repentance. Let me close by a statement by great servant of God, late William MacDonald. You know, I keep in my file some of the great quotations. And as I was preparing and meditating and studying this, you know, it happened to me that I happened to read, you know, an article by William MacDonald published many years ago. So the Lord, as a surprise, brought it to my attention at that time. And this is what he has written. And we need to repent as assemblies of God's people, never in the memory of most of us, has a meeting been called for the express purpose of repentance? And seldom in any of our meetings has confession ever been mentioned. But we need to do it. We desperately need to do it. William MacDonald. It is time to seek the Lord. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for calling our attention to the exercise of focused and intense prayer. Prayer with confession, prayer with repentance, prayer with passion, prayer with a new perspective, with a new sense of need. Open our hearts and minds and to weep and cry and pray unto thee because of what is happening in the world all around us. We thank you that in your mercy and grace and in your love and in your sovereign will, thou hast not allowed calamities to happen to any one of us. But thou hast placed us in a world with a lot of calamities, and many of us have been affected in various ways. We think of thousands of God's people who are not able to worship. For more than 6 months, assembly halls, churches have been closed. We thank you that in spite of that, thou hast given us the opportunity to worship thee and to remember thee and to observe the Lord's Supper and to have our gathering through means of technology. But we think of many, many thousands of people around the world. Due to many reasons, they are not able to worship the Lord, to meet with your people for the last many years, and Satan is rejoicing. Satan is celebrating because he has made this a spiritual pandemic. In the midst of such crisis, Lord, help us to weep, help us to pray, help us to intercede, help us to seek your face, and pray that what we have heard from your word this morning may motivate, may encourage, may give us a new understanding, a new burden, and a new perspective on prayer. And to that end, we commit ourselves to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.